let's begin. This week we have a double header. Once again, Parshas Acharei Mois Kedoshim. Okay, we'll start with the Mile, with a light Inyan. We all have heard this expression, Rachman Olson, when a person passes, and we didn't think of him very highly in his lifetime, all of a sudden we read about him in the paper, and wow, they made out of him a Kodosh. And we all have this expression on our Fiv, Achrei Mois Kedoshim. After a person goes, all of a sudden, MR, then you say all the nice things. So the Musa Haskell, he comes to these pashas always to learn. It should be a reminder, Lifnei Mois Kedoshim. A person should do his best that while he's still here in this world, he should be a Kodosh. That is something that, just a short little thing to keep in mind. Okay. Every year, it's very interesting that we read Parashas Acharei Mois, which deals with the Avoid of Yom HaKippurim against the backdrop of Pesach Sheni. And this year, it's Erev Pesach Sheni. Pesach Sheni is on Sunday. And we read on Shabbos Acharei Mois, and you would think this is the Kriya Satorah for Yom Kippur. Here we have the Avoid of Bezois, Yavoi, Aaron, El Kodesh, Befar, Bemekol, Lechatos, Ve'Ali, Allah. The sun is Bad Kodesh, and we go to the entire Avoidah. So the question is, my Ein Zelazel, what is the Hashkacha Pratis? Why is it that we lay in the Avoidah of Yom Kippur right before Pesach Sheni? And the answer is, the truth is that the Pesach, Karban Pesach, and Yom HaKippurim to some degree represent the two extreme points in the history of Klal Yisrael, at least in the foundation of Klal Yisrael. Pesach is the Haschala, and the ability for a person to come Lefnai V'Lefnim, a Kohen Gadol who represents Klal Yisrael, the Kodesh HaKadoshim in Eretz Yisrael, Al Admas Kodesh, to come to the permanent place, L'Shichno Siddushu Uvasa Shama. We went to the Kodesh HaKadoshim during the 40 years in the Midbar. We went to the Kodesh HaKadoshim during Mishkan Shiloi, Neivigivayin, Gilgal. But the permanent Mokayim L'Shichno Siddushu Uvasa Shama, and for the Kohen to go Lefnai V'Lefnim, represents the ultimate shleimus in the process of Yitzias Mitzrayim, leaving Yitzias Mitzrayim and coming into Eretz Yisrael, finding the place of the Shechin Hashuas Hashchin, the permanent place, building the base Hamigdash, and for the Kohen Gadol represents Klal Yisrael to go Lefnai V'Lefnim before Kadosh Baruch Hu. This is the Gemar. This is the Yitziah, the leaving Egypt, and then the last steps. Can you imagine the last steps of walking out of Egypt is the Kohen Gadol walking into the Kodesh HaKadoshim in Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim. That's really the last thing you'd see is a process of walking. We're going from one place to another. That's the Gemar. So the answer, the point is that every time you come to a new beginning, the Musar Haskell is you have to have a plan for the, what's your end game? What's your end game? And when you get to the end game, it's always kedai to look back where you, the Sharash, and where did you come from? Now, for example, we do find many similarities between Yom Kippur and Pesach. In Pesach, we all know that there are a lot of fours. I don't have a chance to go look up all the fours, but on Pesach, there are a lot of fours. A lot of things on Pesach are four. Question, my, what is four? What's it? Say, you go out to Lekachdin, you want to go study Yom Kippur, you'll find there's like a series of 10 things that are four in Yom Kippur. So I once heard a Jewish, it's a little bit of wild Jewish, but it's meant to tell you there's really no such thing as four in Chazal. In Chazal, we have eight. Eight, there's seven, and then there's Lamalam Derechateva, eight, Shmini Atisov, Yom Hashmini. The two parts, Pesach and Yom HaKippurim, in one degree are two halves of one whole. The four of Pesach are to be combined with the four of Yom Kippur. For the concept, the Pesach revolves around the number four. On Yom Kippur, what? Going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim four times. Going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim four times. There are four. Okay, I don't remember. I never chance to look up. They're not as well known, but if you study the Avodah, there are numbers of four. They sprinkle dam on the Pareches four times. Four times. How many times do they say the shame? Do we bow down? Do we say the shame? Well, we do with Olenu, it's four times. It's not. I don't know the answer. All right, well, we don't need to come on to that. Chazal say that gives one example. When the Kohen goes to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, when he enters into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he wore only the big day four garments. Okay, there's another four. He didn't wear the big day shirt, only wore the four garments. What is it made from? Linen. Where did they they purchase, did they harvest the flocks to make the big day loven for the Kohen Gadol that went lefnai v'lefim. The Gemara Masechet Yomot says they bedavka got it from Mitzrayim. They went to Egypt, they harvested linen in Egypt, a special type of linen in Egypt, and that was used to fashion the Kohen, the clothing of the Kohen Gadol, the Gadol lefnai v'lefim. So they're pshat, why? Because in Egypt, that's the highest quality linen. All different types of linen. You can get linen in Eretz Yisrael, linen from America, linen from Australia, and you can get linen from Egypt. Oh, it's like, you know, the Turkish wool. The Turkish wool,
Egyptian cotton.
Okay, so every country has a commodity. Has a commodity that's one of a kind. It's one of a kind. So the linen, the Gemara is derech pshat. Linen for the big day loven, for the Kohen Gadol, they got it from Mitzrayim. But it's much more deeper than that. When the Kohen Gadol goes lefnai v'lefnim into that makom, those final steps, you left Mitzrayim, you're walking out of Mitzrayim, you're walking through the Midbar, you're walking, you're coming to accomplish l'shichnoi sidushu v'vos hashama, to leave Mitzrayim, the ervas ha'aretz, to come to the makom l'shichnoi sidushu u'vos hashama, that last step, when you finally make it in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you're meluvish from your humble roots. Where did I come from? Where do I come from? What am I, Sharoshim? I come from Egypt. I was once a slave in Egypt. We were avodim for Paro. That's what it says in the Gemara. You were the Kohen War. Just like this concept is true in the garments he wore, to remember your humble beginning, it's true in Zman. Every year, the Zman of Pesach Sheni to some degree, is even more Pesach than Pesach. You know, you talk about people, he's a ger chassid. He's more ger than ger. He does extreme things. You always hear that about people. Pesach Sheni is more Pesach than Pesach. Because Lamoni Gora, the desperation, the tshuka, the yearning, the desire to have a carbon Pesach, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't just want you to do a mitzvah anashem v'limuda. To bring a carbon Pesach because you made a demand of the Ribbono Shel Olam, Lama Nigara, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to create for you a brand new carbon Pesach. This is the shpitz of carbon Pesach. And when does that time of the year, does that occur? Ha-foichba. It occurs during the time of the year when we lain the parasha Bezos Yovoi Aron El HaKodesh Yom HaKippurim. Why? Because just like when the Kohen Gadol walks into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he is miluvash in a garment that came from Egypt. So the Kohen Gadol should remember, when you take your final step, remember where you came from, your humble beginning, your humble roots, and remember the Chesed Kodesh Baruch Hu has done for you. When we come to Pesach Sheni, when we come to Yom HaKippurim, this Shabbos, the Avod of Yom HaKippurim, what we're doing in the Lefnai V'Lefnim, remember, it's Erev Pesach Sheni. Remember your humble roots. Okay, let's go to another idea. The parasha begins with tragedy. We remind of the tragedy. And over here, Hashem has to remind us that how they died. I saw in a Sefer Ha'ara, I didn't see a good explanation, but I saw Ha'ara is why here in Parshas Achrimos is their death described differently than the way they are described in Parshas, where was it? Parshas Shmini, where it says, Vayakrivu Eish Zora. Asher lo tziva oisam. So the pasuk l'chor should be consistent. Vayidab Hashem u'moish achrei Moshe ne b'nei Aaron. If you want to go tell me they died, you'd say behak behakrivam ezora asher lo tziva oisam Hashem vayamusu. It just says behak bekorvosam lifnei Hashem vayamusu. When they came close, what's going on? Why, when they actually did the Avera, it could have said the same thing over there. It could have said back in Parsha Shemini, Aaron, Vayikach, Nadav, Aviu, they went close before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they offered a carbon, and they went close, Vayamusu. There it says, it spells it out. You know what they did? You know what they did? They brought an Eish Zara, Asher Leitziva Oisa. In other words, what do? They came close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's really the same thing. They came close by bringing a Ketoris, whatever it was, to come close. What else are they doing in the Kodesh HaKadosh? So why there in Parashah Shmini is it termed, is it defined in such a negative way? Whereas here, it's defined in a more pleasant, it sounds almost good. It sounds like they did something good. They carved a Samof Hashem Musul. The answer is, it's a very, very powerful Musar Haskell. It's a Davar Pashan Admor, but sometimes we need to go back and go back to the basics. Is that every so often people, Rahman in some way about tragedies. And you want to, and everyone, what happened? What happened? And you go online and you go find out and you find all the gory details. And more often than not, the people have no one to blame for the tragedy than themselves. They should have been more careful. What were they doing here? What were they doing there? Yeah, you'll say Hashem b'Sayim Hashem, everyone does this. But you'll always find they should have been more careful, they should not have been doing this and this. And they always there's blame to share. But that's true, okay. But when you come to remember what has happened, the Torah here is telling you, don't rub it in. Don't rub it in. A tragedy is a tragedy. The people who suffer will live with the guilt of whatever happened, the avera, the cause of what happened, whether it's a spiritual cause, whether it was negligence. It is what it is. But when you're coming to memorialize the tragedy, don't look at the blame. Just look at the good. Look at the focus on the good qualities. Here when HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem is not rubbing it in. Oh, Nadav Avihu, they died, good for them. Asher Ekrivu, Ech Zorah, Asher Leitzivai Sam, good for them. No. Hashem says they were tzaddikim. They didn't do anything wrong. Bikarvasam, they came close to Fnei Hashem. Really? They were good? They weren't good. They did a terrible Avera. Ech Zorah. Chazal give 13 reasons. I have a safety list. 13 reasons, 13 sins of what? 13 things that they did, things that. But that's over here, it's only positive. Why? Because Masha Hoya, Kvar Hoya. You can't go back and rewrite history. Tragedy is a tragedy, the people will always live with the guilt. You don't rub it in. We live in a world today, unfortunately, with technology where people are driven to rub it in, to never let you live it down. If you made a mistake, what? Rush to judgment, but it's not just rush to judgment. It's part of the record. On the record, it is what it is.
It's,
but it's not just that it's easy. It's part of the whole environment. This is what you have to do. You got to rub it in. You got to bring it out. You have to make more out of it. The Torah is teaching that's wrong. That it's dead wrong. The facts speak for themselves. You want to know why it happened? You can go and look up why it happened. Go back to Parashat Shmini. I'll find you 13 reasons why it happens. But the Ribbono Shel Olam himself says, let's forget about it. Can't go back and fix it. At least, when we have to remember them, let's remember them for good. Let's remember them as tzaddikim. Let's remember that they came close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Mekarvasam Lifnei Hashem. It's a very simple idea, but it's a very true and very powerful idea. And sometimes we have to go back. Interesting idea. The Torah didn't need to say anything altogether. The Torah could have just said, Acharei Moshe Bnei Aaron. Period. Didn't have to say anything. And if it's going to say something, so it should be consistent. Describe it here the way we described it there, or describe it there the way we described it here. Be consistent. In Shmini, we're telling you what happened. You want to know what happened? I'll tell you what happened. Learn from it. Don't make the same mistake the next time. But when you want to remember them, when you want to put up a memorial, don't go right on the memorial. This person, you know, we're dedicating this shul in his honor, and I'll tell you all the gory details. Shtus! He was a tzaddik, he was a good person, you forget about. That's the message of this week's parashah.
That's why Rabbi Nisan, what he says is, how come, this would be brought to die after most of come right after Shmini.
Yeah.
So how come this has
been we're waiting
in between? He said, because Bishas Tzaro,
you don't rub it in.
That happened. You don't do any, let some time pass, and after some time passes, then I'll tell him, and now you want to know, we'll could sit down and talk about it. Not immediately, because
you got to give it time.
And you might lash out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, let's now discuss a little bit the Soher La'azaza. One of the more difficult sugyas in the Torah is the a goyel is made by the Kohen Gadol, Echel Hashem Yechel La'azazel, the soul Hashem is known as a carbon, the soul La'azazel is thrown off the mountain, the cliff, Ish Iti, it's escorted by a designated individual. According to some Farshim, they knew he was going to die, they were Bikim in the Mazalos, and they knew that this person's time was, he was going to die this year. All these very bizarre and esoteric ideas are toward a reference to the Azazel. Now there's a very, to make things even more bizarre, there's a very strange Ibn Ezra that is quoted by many of the Sfarim, and everyone likes to play around with this Ibn Ezra. What's the Ibn Ezra? I'm sure you've heard it, you've heard this here before, maybe even we said it over last year, if I remember. Okay, in Parashas, so let me find the Pasuk. Give me one moment to find it. Here it is. Nope, not it. Previous page. Okay, here it is. Okay, so the pasuk says you should bring a sor la'azazel, and the azazel yomat chai has to stand there in the azara until they're ready, and then after they bring the carbon, they send it out with an ish iti and they throw it off the cliff. The Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra says, "V'amar Rav Shmuel af al pi shakosav b'sor chatos shuj l'shem." Even though it says that the sor chatos is l'shem Hashem, you should know, "Gam hasoir hamishtaleach hu l'shem." It's also a carbon. It's also a form of something that's being sent off to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. V'ein sorach. I disagree. Here, the Ibn Ezra is quoting Rav Shmuel. I don't know who this Rav Shmuel is, but the Ibn Ezra disagrees. It's not a carbon. It's not a carbon. Let's not get carried away. Ki hamishtaleach ain't a carbon. Ki lo yishchoit. You don't slaughter it. V'im yecholes lahavim. So what is it then? What is it? So the Ibn Ezra says, I'm going to tell you. Get ready. Fasten your seatbelts. V'im yecholes lahavim hasoid. The secrets. Shehu. Achar milas azazel. I don't know what these words mean. The secret of what comes after the word azazel. I don't know what that means. Teda sodo. You will know its secrets. V'sod shemo, and the secret of its name. Ki yesh lei chaverim b'mikra. There are precedents, similar situations in the Torah. I don't know what this means. Va'ani, here's the part I want to focus on. Va'ani agal l'cha k'tsas ha'soid. I'll reveal to you a small bit, just a little bit. Everything in the Torah has ayin panim, has many dimensions. A little bit of the secret. Beremez b'hiyoscha. When you will be ben shloishim v'sholosh tad'enu. When you will be a person of 33 years old, you will understand it. It doesn't say years old. When you will be 33, then you'll understand what this is all about. Everyone reads this Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra is a very popular sefer, a very popular parish in the Mikros Gedolos. And they all say, what in the world is he talking about? What in the world is going on here? So, alright, yeah, it's true, there are some commentators who want to say tied into like, well, I don't know. So I think the simplest interpretation is that if you read from the Dibur HaMaskel, from this Pasuk, this Pasuk, it begins, I mean, whatever this Pasuk is, Pasuk, wherever you, Pasuk Hey, Pasuk Vav, wherever it is, and you count 33 Pasukim forward, you come to Perek Lamed Zayin, and in Perek Lamed Zayin, it says, V'lo yizbuchu od la'asirim. Let me just try to find the pasuk. Here it is. V'lo yizbuchu od es zivchehem la'asirim asher heim zoynim acharehem chukas elom tiyazos lohem l'doroysam. It is forbidden to offer a carbon to a sohir. Sohir to the goats. This was an avodah zara. This was a form of idolatry. So he says that the soid, when he saw some, many want to say that what the Ibn Ezra alludes to is that the azazel, the reason why we don't actually slaughter the azazel, we only throw it off a cliff, or what the azazel represents, has what to do with this other concept, which we also don't understand what it means, is in ancient times, people would offer sacrifices to an avodah zara called the Seirim. And therefore the Torah says don't do that. So don't do that. So he just wants to make the connecting the dots. We have a Sor LaZazel. Sor LaZazel is related to the pasuk 33 psukim before, is where you're going to find, you're going to understand what this means. Okay, this is a very common interpretation, and you could elaborate upon this in different ways to figure out exactly what this means. But I came across another idea in the Torah Ladas. He doesn't exactly fully explain, he just gives you the Aramakim. Another idea, and this idea is also expressed by other commentators in different words. What is the purpose of the Sor LaZazel? So let's understand. When a person does an Avera, and a person does an Avera, there's a famous Gra, a person has to give Lasalovo a din v'cheshbon, everything that he has done. A din means he has to be punished for the sin. And then there's something called a cheshbon. What's the cheshbon? Once you've already been punished, what more is there for the person to do? The answer is, well, during the time that you were busy doing averos, during that time you could have done mitzvahs. So there's no way you can catch up. It's not just, you know, I did simultaneously, I did mitzvahs and I did averos. So I'll be punished for the averos, but I didn't lose out. You know, every moment in life is an opportunity to accomplish more things. When you do averos, it takes time. You know, it takes time, money, effort. During the time, money, effort that you were busy doing the Avera, you were not involved in doing mitzvos. For that, you have to give cheshbon. That's called cheshbon. So many commentators say that's exactly why we have the two. We have the two goats. We have the Soher LaHashem. This is a kapara for chet. And then there's the Sor LaZazel. The way the Sor LaZazel is defined in the Torah is Yo Amat Chai. It shall stand there alive. What is the expression Yo Amat Chai? That Sharon explained the difference between a human being and a malach is V'nasati l'cha, it's a pasuk in Navi, V'nasati l'cha mahalchim bein ho'indim ho'ela. A human being is called a mahalich, is a traveler. You're able to go from one madrega to the next. Mechayil el chayil. Malachim, as great as they are stagnant. They have no mobility. Hashem creates them in an exalted level of sanctity, and that's where they remain for the rest of their existence. That's extremely frustrating. We all know when a parnasa, there's no job mobility, it's extremely frustrating. They have this burnout very quickly. You have to have goals. You have to be able to move from one level to the next level. So a human being has the mile. A human being may start out as a zero, but a human being is infinitely greater than a malach, because a human being is given the koyach of mobility. And even if you just move up a few madrigos and you don't come anywhere near a malach, big deal. At least you accomplish by moving forward. The malach has not gone anywhere. The Sor LaZazel is said, and you make a garul echel Hashem echel LaZazel. Take the one LaHashem, bring it as a korban, atonement for your sins. And the second one, in the meantime, Yo Amat Chai. What's Yo Amat Chai? It's the cheshbon of the gra. It's Yo Amat, the time when you were doing the avera, you were an oimed. You were not moving forward. You were not. Do you bring a carbon for that? No. You only bring a carbon when you do something wrong. I did an Avera. I had a hearer of an Avera. I didn't do a mitzvah. The Torah told me to do a mitzvah, and I didn't do a mitzvah. But is there such a thing in the Torah as bring a carbon to be mechaper for not advancing? No. That is what the Sor LaZazel comes for. It comes to be atoned for the cheshbon, what you could have accomplished, the fact that you were an oimed and you were not a mahalech, the malachim are oimdim, the fact that you behave like a malach and not like a human being, you need atonement. Oh, you acted like a malach and not like a human being, so you need a carbon. I can't bring a regular carbon on the mizbeach. The carbon is a different type of carbon, which I have no idea, and everyone that I read also acknowledges that we don't know what this means. It's a different type of atonement when you take the Azazel, which is the Yom HaChai, you throw it off the cliff. Let's forget about it. Let's just go forward and let's have atonement for not moving forward during that period of time. That's an idea. Now, I just want to take the idea and go a little bit further with that idea, with an idea I saw from the Rabbi Matthias Blum in his Sefer Torah Lodas, where he writes that the 33 alludes to the 33 words of Yaakov Avinu in his dialogue or his comment to Paro. Paro, what did he say? Parashas Me'at V'ro'im. What did Paro say to Yaakov? Yaakov, you're an old. You look pretty scary. You look like a huno. You look very like an old man. What happened to you? So he said, "How old are you?" So he told him, "How old did he tell me he was?"
130.
And what did he say? He said to him, let me just find the pasuk. Okay, let me just read the whole pasuk. You remember the pasuk by heart? Chapter and verse. Chapter and verse. How many words? 33 words. 33 words. Because he said these 33 words, how old was Yaakov when he died? 147. How old should he have? Should he have been? 180, like his father Yitzchak. He lost 33 years. Can you imagine what Klal Yisrael would have been like today had he lived another 33 years? Why? Because he said these words which were held against him. How dare you say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Me'at V'ro'im, I saved you, I brought back your son Yosef, I saved you from the famine, I saved you from Dina. Rashi has a long list of things. Do you know the chesed I did with you? And you dare say Me'at V'ro'im? That's how you talk? Ooh, you're going to be punished. 33 years of your life were taken away. So, let's take this idea and let's connect it to the two things that we've said before. Ibn Ezra says, Sir Lazazil, what is this? A carbon, not a carbon, bizarre. What's going on? When you'll be 33, you'll understand what this means. You'll be 33. Let's pause. What else does the Sir Lazazil mean? It's not coming for your typical Avera of doing an Avera, of being Maharabi Avera, of not doing mitzvahs. It's coming for your Amad Chai. It's coming for what you could have done. It's coming for something more delicate. What is it coming to atone for? The bad attitude. That's what I want to suggest. It's coming, the Sir Lazazil is, it's not a carbon. We just brought a riot that it is a carbon for something that you can't bring a carbon for. It represents atonement. And the Ibn Ezra is telling us 33 even sounds like he's saying it will be 33 years. If you live those additional 33 years, then you'll understand what it's coming for. Because why did Yaakov even lose 33 years? It's a bad attitude to look back at the past year, comes Yom Kippur, last year, this is no good, that's no good, this is a problem, you krich, and you criticize, and you're bitter,
you find fault,
you're bitter. That is a terrible sin. Every single moment in life is an opportunity, is a bracha. And even though we don't see it, that's how it is. And when a person lives, can you hold a person accountable for this? Absolutely not. It's not an Avera. Did I do an Avera? Just because I have a problem, I got a pickle, I got a tzara. So did I do an Avera? No. Am I upset? Do I have tinnitus? I think Rabbi Shur once said that everyone always has on the spreadsheets, the Ribbono Shel Olam is always in the red. He's always in the red. We're in the green, and we're in the black, and he's in the red. Hashem owes me for this, he owes me for this, I have tinnitus on him. Deep down in our mind, that's the way we always calculate. And that is basically us saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Me'at V'ro'im. We're doing the same thing. And that is not, you can't have a tinnitus on the person. What do you want from me? How do I see things? Did I do an Avera as a result? No. Prove I didn't do an Avera. I went to every minyan this, I didn't miss a mincha, I didn't miss a mariv, I didn't, like, everything I did perfectly. But listen, I just have a negative attitude towards all my problems in life. You can't bring a carbon. That's the Sohir Lazosel. That is Yo'am Adchai. That attitude is holding you back. Combine these two ideas together. That bad attitude is holding you back from taking difficult situations and using them as an opportunity to grow. It sounds a lot easier than it is, believe me. But this is what the Sohar Lazazel is coming to atone for. Okay, so that will leave it with that. So let's now jump ahead to Parshas Kedoshim. A few short ideas on Parshas Kedoshim. Kedoshim tiyu ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem. Now the Parsha first begins with the words Daber El Kol Adas Bnei Yisrael V'Yamar Talhem Kedoshim Tiyu Ki Kedosh Mi Hashem Lokeichem. Mefarshim take note that this is one of two psukim in the Torah where something was addressed to the entire assembly. It's only here in Parashas Kedoshim called Adas, and where else? The taking of the Karban Pesach. In Parashas Bo, when Moshe Rabbeinu says for the very first time, Dabru El Kol Adas Yisrael Leimor Be'osor Be'osor L'Chodesh Azev Yichu Lohem Ish Selevais Ovo Selabois. So the question is, why are these the only two places in the entire Torah when Moshe Rabbeinu spoke El Kol Adas Bnei Yisrael? It's very timely. Right? We're letting Parashas Kedoshim right against up against Pesach Sheni. Pesach Sheni, that is Pesach Rishon. There's a big machlokes, by the way, do you take Pesach Sheni? Is there an inyan of taking the Pesach Sheni on the 10th day of Iyar? It's a shayla in the Achronim. It's such an inyan of taking the Pesach, just like the Pesach Rishon is an inyan of 4 days in advance. Is there an inyan of 4 days in advance called Pesach Sheni? But we have over here, what's the connection between these two? So there are different ideas that are brought out. One idea I want to bring out is that both of these things represent the concept of family. This parish, according to Rashi, when it says Kedoshim Tiyu, even though the Arayos was really taught in the previous parasha, but Rashi here says Kedusha refers specifically to Arayos. Kedoshem Tiyu Hevu Pirushim Min Ho'Arayos U'Min Ho'Avera. It's going back, it's summarizing Parashas Acharemos, all the various forbidden relations. Kedoshem Tiyu, you shall be holy. You shall be holy. Be very careful when it comes to Arayos. Who was this said to? Kol Adas Bnei Yisrael. What else so was said to the family? Most of the Arayos, the vast majority of the Arayos, deal with don't get too close to one of your relatives. A sister, an aunt, an uncle, a daughter-in-law. The majority of the Arayos are close relatives. When you want a big happy family, what is the message? The message of Arayos is don't get too close. Yeah, there has to be barriers even within your own family. On the other hand, if you take that to the extreme, you can lose the sense of family. If it's Osir, a sister is Osir, so once a girl is born, a family has, they should have two different, like you imagine, this day, you now don't have any girls in the house. Okay, you think the machitzas are too extreme? You're not allowed no women in the house. You can have a sister. You can have an aunt. You cannot. It's nonsense. There has to be a proper balance. The essence of Karban Pesach is the yikhu. What was that pasuk? Daber kol dasrol be'esol haChodesh hazeh. The yikhu lohem ish sel leveis avos sel abayis. Karban Pesach is about the unity of the family. The family has to come together as one. One Karban Pesach for the whole bias. The Pesach is a ma'achet, unity among the family. But here in Parashas Kedoshim, it's warning us, watch out. Just because I told you to come close together, don't come too close. If you come too close, chorus, brother, sister, son, mother, aunt, daughter-in-law, son, father, daughter, all those things. These two have the same expression, kol adas, to teach us that everything in the Torah, in the family, there has to be proper balance. Don't be like the goyim with his total hefkeris. Either there's distance you see among the goyim. There's either extreme distance, one person doesn't know from the next in the family, or there's arayas, incest. By Klal Yisrael, balance. A strong, strong family. Ish selave sava selaboyas, but mitzat sheni, be careful. Don't go too far. Don't push. Don't chas shomi nichshol in any of the arayos. Okay, let's go to another idea. Kedoshim tiyu, the parasha begins with kedoshim tiyu. This is one of the most fundamental mitzvos in the Torah, according to the Ramban. It means mekadesh atzmoi b'mutar loch. Every single day we make reference to kedusha multiple times. V'oifanim v'chayos hakodesh noisim rishus. V'noistim rishus zeh lo zeh lahakdish liyotzram benachas ruach besofa v'ro v'nima kidusha kulam keechad oinim v'yomim v'yira kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. Three times kadosh. We'll discuss what that means in a few moments. But what is important to take note of the nusach atfilah, the first time we make mention of kedusha in davening, is v'chula mekavam o malchush v'noistim rishus zeh lo zeh. Before you can come to Kedusha, there has to be Derech Eretz. Rishus. Netilas Rishus is the most fundamental form of Derech Eretz. Noisim Rishus, Zelazeh. Chazal say, Ilmoli Moroha Ish Esri Chaim Belov. There has to be Derech Eretz. In fact, in the piyut of Lechayei Ha'olamim, Halekach Ha'aliv of all those things, and one of the things it says is, Hakuria. V'hakidusha l'chayei ho'olamim. The Python group the two together. What's the kriya? The kora zel zel. What's the kora zel zel? We say this also in the kedusha. What's the kora zel zel? Do you give me permission? Do you give me permission to say kadosh kadosh? Do you give me permission? Rishus. The kora zel zel v'yamar. Kriya v'hakidusha l'chayei ho'olamim. That is the prerequisite. So I want to suggest to Josh that is why the very first example of Kedusha is, what's the pasuk? Daber el kol hadas b'nei Yisrael v'yamarta lehem kedoshim tihiyu. Okay, Kedusha. Ki kodosh ani Hashem lekechem. And right away, what's the first example? Ish imo v'yaviv tirohu. V'yeshab soysai tishmoiru ani Hashem lekechem. Mai inyin shmita etzel har Sinai. What does Moira Avaim have to do with Kedusha? What does Shabbos have to do with Moira Avaim? And what do the two have to do with Kedusha? What is this over here? What have all these things been grouped together? The answer is fearing a parent, not honoring, but fearing a parent is possibly the most basic element of Derech Eretz. Just like the Malachim, before they can say Kadosh, 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 Menoistim Rishos Zelo Zev, V'kar Zel Zev Yamar, a parent has brought you into this world. Let's not talk about giving them kavod and feeding them and clothing them. Just basic things. When a parent tells you to do something, moira, moira avoim. Moira avoim is possibly the most fundamental form of derech eretz. What is Shabbos? Shabbos is possibly the most exalted form of kedusha. Shabbos kodesh. That's the Shabbos. The word Kodesh is associated, it's synonymous with Shabbos. Hashem created, we don't do malacha, we abstain from doing anything that has any derech eretz of this world. The Kedusha of Shabbos. That's what the Pasuk is telling you. I'm telling you, Kedoshim to you. Look, just like my malachim and Shemayim, they understand that as a prerequisite to say Kadosh, 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 you have to have Derech Eretz. You too, you earthlings in this world, if you want to come to Kedusha, which is expressed in terms of Shabbos Kodesh, the ultimate form, Shabbos Me'ein, Olam Haba, the Makom, the time of Kedusha, to get there, you need Derech Eretz. And the mashal the Torah gives for Derech Eretz is Ish Imo V'Aviv Tiro. This is the Hakdama. Okay, now along these lines, let's also explain that we have three different types of Kedusha. Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzavakos, we explain in the Uvalitzi and Gol that it refers to three types of Kedusha. Kedusha number one is Hashem is holy in Kaddish. The Nusach. I have a Siddur here somewhere. I'll say it exactly the way it says it in the Siddur. Umikablin Dain Min Dain V'Amin. Each Malach receives permission from the other Malach and says, Kaddish. Hashem is holy, b'shmei miroma, in the heavens. That's the translation of the first kadosh. The second kadosh is kadosh b'shmei miroma ilah, b'shmei miroma ilah beis shechinte. That's number one. It's holy abode. Hashem is holy and is holy exalted abode. The second holiness is kadosh al ara. Hashem is holy on the earth. Ovad givurte, the earth which is the product of His might. And the third kiddush is kaddish leolam uleolmei olmaya zman. Three different types of kiddusha. There's kiddusha in heaven, there's kiddusha in this world on the earth, and there's kiddusha in zman. Now, what does that mean? What is zman? What does zman have to do with kiddush? We understand Hashem is holy in Shemayim. That we understand. We can understand that when we do mitzvos in this world, when we sanctify the mundane, we give kiddush to this earth. But what does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is holy in time? So the answer is very simple: is that the glue to bring the kedusha from Shemayim to this world is time. Mashayaseh hazman lo yaseh. Mashalo yaseh haseichel yaseh. Yaseh hazman. Different ways to say that expression. I was taught mashayaseh hazman lo yaseh haseichel. Okay, you heard the other way around. Okay, whatever it is. But time is the ultimate. It takes time in order to, when a person does the mitzvah for the very first time, what are you really doing? You take the first time, a person gives you a lulav and esrog. You look at the lulav and the esrog, what does this mean? What is this? You make a bracha, asher kiddushanu, you've sanctified us. Alright, you shuck the lulav and esrog, is that really kiddusha? A little bit. But the more you practice, the more that time passes, the more you develop a relationship with the Gashmias, and the more you're able to take the Gashmias and able to understand and elevate it to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more when time passes, like things evolve, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's schar ve'onesh, the midah keneged midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes time for it to evolve, to come to this world. Zman, time, is the glue which brings the kedusha from Shemayim to this world. Okay, we say this in the Siddur every single day. This is Pashup Shat. Kedusha in Shemayim, kedusha in this world, and Zman brings two together. In fact, this idea is also hinted to in the brach of Ata Kadosh. Ata Kadosh, Veshimcha Kadosh, Ukedosha Mechol Yom Yihal Mechasela. There are three mentions of kedusha. Ata means your essence. You, Hashem in Shemayim, your essence is kedusha. Veshimcha Kadosh. Shimcha is a lavush, your name. I can't define your essence, but I can describe it with a shame. This world is the lavush, is a description of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It corresponds to the shame. It's not the essence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's in Shemayim. This world is a distilled version of something which mirrors, parallels Hashem's Kedusha. And then we say, Ashka'ata Kadoshim, Ukedoshim, Bechol Yom Zman. Bechol Yom Yahalalucha Sels. Every single day when we say the Baruch of Ata Kadosh, we're really saying the same thing that it says over here in this Nevolitzi, on this Kedusha in Shemayim, this Kedusha on the earth, and this Kedusha in Zman, which brings the two together. Ata Kadosh, your essence Kadosh, Shimcha Kadosh, Ukedoshim Bechol Yom. Now, with that in mind, we have a homiletic interpretation of the first pasuk in the second, third pasuk in this parashas Kedoshim. We have Kedoshim tiyu ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem. Ish imo v'aviv tirahu v'yashab sosai tishmoiru. Three different types of kedusha. Now it's not in the order that I would have preferred, but but it's still there. The three things are here. Imoy always generally refers to the gashmias. A person is a product of his mother. It's what brought him into this world. The imoy is his physical source in this world. The aviv is Melamdei Torah. It's a spiritual guide. Represents Avinu Shabbat Shemayim. Right? We don't call HaKadosh Baruch Hu our mother in heaven. Avinu Shabbat Shemayim.
Unless you're a feminist.
A feminist, yeah, that is okay. But Avinu Shabbat Shemayim, a father is symbolic of Ruchnius. And then Shabbos. V'yesh Shabsoisai Tishmer. What is Shabbos? Zman! Hashem made the world in 6 days and rested on day seven, is Zman. So it fits perfectly. I mean, that's not perfect. Perfect. The order is a little bit different, but you see the same idea. There's three different forms of kedusha. There is kadosh in heaven, kadosh on earth. Zman brings the two together. Koyach of Zman, ish imo v'aviv tiro v'yashav soisai tishmor. Why are these three things coming together? It's teaching you the three types of kedusha. They all kadosh. Basically, it's saying is based on the pasuk saying kadoshim to you kikadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem, kadosh kadosh kadosh. That's what it's saying, and the pasuk is just elaborating this kedusha midin aviv, this kedusha midin imoy, and there is Shabbos, which is the zman, the brias ha'olam was all created in 7 days by Shabbos vayinofash. Okay, that's one idea. There's another nice idea I came across. I vaguely remember saying this over last year. It's a beautiful idea. I just want to repeat it. And that is the first few psukim talk about give the examples. The first pasuk is Ish imo v'yaviv tirahu v'yashab soisai tishmaru. Fear your parents. Observe Shabbos. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Next pasuk. Al tifnu el hoalilim. Now let's not forget the first pasuk. That's what we want. Kedoshim to you, holy ki kadosh, ani Hashem Elokeichem. So let's review. We have three psukim, one after the other, and what do they all have in common? They all end off with the same three words, ani Hashem Elokeichem. Question: why the repetition? Why is ani Hashem Elokeichem repeated after kedoshim to you, ki kadosh ani, ki kadosh? Ki kodosh, ani Hashem Elokeichem, and why is it repeated in Pasuk Beis after fearing parents, and why is it repeated in Pasuk Gimdalid with the next Pasuk of Avodah Zarah? So first we have to understand the style of the Torah. The Torah repeats itself. The Torah generally means, even though it seems that it's different, you should be aware it's really all the same. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's in charge of good, in charge of bad, reward and punishment, so on and so forth. For example, we say at the end of Kriya Shema, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Asher Otseitzi Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim Liyos Lachem Elokim, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Why is Ani Hashem Elokeichem repeated twice at the beginning of the Pasuk and at the end of the Pasuk? So the Mepharshim explain, because a person can be misled to believe that there's two gods. There's a God that's in charge of miracles, and there's a God that's in charge of Teva. So Hashem took the status of Mitzrayim, it was done through Mifs and miracles. So no, Ani Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. That God is retired. We don't owe him anything anymore. He's out of the picture. Now Chas Shalom is a new God, and it's a new set of cards and new sets of rules. Hashem says, don't make that foolish mistake. I'm the same God. Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Otseitzi Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim Liyos Lachem Elokim. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. I'm the same God that's noig with you all derech HaTeva. The miracles are over. Now we have to get down to business. The same Ribbono Shel Olam. Whenever something is repeated multiple times, it means it's all the same. Don't make a mistake. I think it's all the same. So here we have three different madrigals, three different groups of people in the Yishri Psukim. There are certain people that don't have a nisayon of worshipping idols. That's not their problem. They're not addicted to alcohol. They're not addicted to the internet. They're not addicted to Lashon Hara. They don't got that problem. They're exalted people. They're struggling on very holy, like what the Rabban says, Kedoshim to you, Nekadesh Atzmoy B'mutulach. They're struggling, should I fast twice a week or should I fast three times a week? They're dealing on their, in a very exalted level of Kedusha. There are such people out there. Then there's the average Joe. The average Joe, what does he deal with? Shemesh Shabbos, Moira Avoim, the basics. Ish, Imo, V'aviv, Tirahu, have their Cheres, your parents, be a Shemesh Shabbos. And then Rachman will stand there are people that have sunk to a level where they're struggling. Should I worship this idol today? Or should I worship this idol? This style is really bad, this one is not so bad. But they're both the Avodah Zarah. Al-tifnu el-hu'elilim ve'lohei ma'aseich lo'isa'aselach. A person can be misled to believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu only deals with certain types of people. Hashem only gives an audience, some will say only to the very holy people. Or maybe some will tell you Hashem only deals with people that are benonim, the average. Hashem follows the average. Or you'll say Hashem is not looking for tzaddikim. Hashem is busy the whole day with the troublemakers, the people that are worshipping idols. Al tifnu el ha'alilim elohei ma'aseich lo'isa'aselachem. The pasuk he goes on to say is, it doesn't make a difference where you're holding in life. It doesn't make a difference whether Rachman Litzlan, the person on the bottom of the barrel, and he's mired in chait, and he's working on an assayin of Al Tifnu Elohu Alilu Melohim Asecha, or whether you're the tzaddik, you say you're the biggest rashiv, the biggest tzaddik is Elam, and your struggle is in Yoni Ruchni, Kedoshim Tiyu, Mekadish Asa, or you're just somewhere in between. You're the average Joe. The average Joe, you have a job, you work hard, you do what you're supposed to do, and you struggle with the basic things, Kibbut Avoim, Shmir Shabbos. It's the same Ribbono Shel Olam. Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere, Hashem is there. It doesn't make a difference in where you find yourself on this spectrum. It's the same Ani Hashem Elokeichem. All of them go together. Okay, at the end of Parashas Kedoshim, we have this is a var from the Briska Rav. The Briska Rav is a very beautiful diak. The pasuk says v'evdaltem bein habehema hatehora latameya uvein oif hatameya latahar v'lo seshakas u'esnafshosechem habehema oif v'chol asher tumos adama. Asher evdalti lochem latame. The Briska Rav says the mitzvah say you learn from this pasuk the person should know the simonim. Even if you go into a Galat Mart or wherever you go, wherever you buy your food, and you don't know kosher. As long as there's a heksher, OU, CRC, whatever you got, you have a heksher, you're done. No, there's a mitzvah that a person should know the simonim. When it comes to non-kosher animals, you should know. And a kosher animal, it's malaskera, and it's pasume parsa. You gotta know the simonim. When it comes to birds, all birds are kosher, unless you have simonim, there are four simonim, which mean they're not kosher. You have to know, and the pasuk here is teaching you that. The avdaltem, you shall know the difference. Bein abehema hatohira has the kosher simonim latameya, and does not have the kosher simonim. Ubein the oif hatameya, the oif that has the non-kosher simonim latohira, the one has the kosher simonim. Question: the Briska Rav is, why is the order reversed? Why is it that when it comes to the animal, it first says the tahira, and then it says the tameya? And when it comes to the oif, first it says the tamei, and then it says the tahar. Why is the order reversed? So the Briska Rav is answering derech pshat, because when it comes to kosher, everything the Torah, what does the Torah give us? Simple: the Torah gives us the kosher simonim. Everything by default is not kosher, unless you have two kosher simonim. That's the way the Torah writes. Everything is not kosher. But if you have two kosher simonim, mafres es parsa and malaskera, it's tahar. You have to know the simonim that make it kosher. That's why it comes first. V'vdaltem min hatehema hatehora. That's what comes first. When it comes to birds, it's just the opposite. All birds are kosher, unless they have the non-kosher simonim. So therefore it says you first, you shall know the focus is uveina oif hatone. So animals, the focus is look for the good. By birds, look for the bad. That's the derech pshat. Now, what is the Musar Haskel? So I don't know, but just thinking an idea, just a raw idea. A bird is a davar ruchni, relative to an animal. An animal is a nefesh behema. A nefesh behema, it's gashmi, it's stuck on this world. The animal. The animal is attached to the gashmias of this world. Behema, an ama aret is not allowed to eat even besar behema. Besar behema brings taiva, can bring a person to the avera. A bird is light, it flies, it has spiritual qualities, it's in the heaven. It's a davar ruchni. Today, we find ourselves in a world where everyone has an attitude. When it comes to any new invention, any new event, there's an attitude. It's no good. They're optimists, they're pessimists. Is the cup half empty? Is the cup half full? What is the proper healthy Torah hashkafa when looking at something? Should you look for the good, or should you look for the bad? So I don't know the answer. But perhaps in this pasuk there is a remez to some degree of to some minor blueprint. When you're dealing with a dove, a behema, an animal, which means a dove that's kula gashmi. The starting point is, the Torah is telling you, look for the good. Look for the good. Why look for the good? Because it's obvious. It's a dover gashmi. It's a dover gashmi, something which is mundane. But it has naturally... And this is a raw idea, but it's naturally attached to the ground. It's something which you would normally assume is no good. You have to go, since the default is no good, it's your duty to find some good quality in something which by default everyone is saying is no good. But something which everyone is looking at, which, and I have to be very careful how you say this, but something which is a davar ruchni, an oif, which is more ruchnius, don't just assume it's good. There's always more room for improvement. Oh, what a beautiful davening. That's right. It's a beautiful davening. But there's room for improvement. It can be better. When it comes to a davar ruchni, don't be satisfied. And I don't mean to say, I don't mean that you're critical, that you're complaining and that you're writing that it's no good. It means that there's room for growth. When you're dealing with a davar ruchni, davening, learning, musar, there's always room for improvement. The bird is a davar ruchni, relatively speaking. The birds, by default, are good. All the birds are kosher. The Torah says, but look for room, look for a makom where you can make improvement to go higher and higher. When it comes to a davar that's chol, that's mundane, that's mundane, don't go say, oh, it's no good, it's no good. Look for the good things, recreation. It's not necessarily a davar ruchni. You don't make a bracha when you go on vacation. But look, there you look for the good qualities. The simonim that are tar. The order is bein abehema hatahoro. The hoiro comes before you look for the simonim of tamei. Alright, let's leave it with that. Okay, going back to Parash Kedosh, there's another shofar I came across. Something very interesting is that there are three different types of people that are mentioned in the Torah. There is a brother, and there is a friend, and there is a dayan. In Parashas Kedoshim, when it comes to a dayan, the Torah says, don't curse him. What's the pasuk? Does anyone remember the pasuk offhand? Pasuk says by a dayan, my brother, it says, when it comes to a friend, it says, and when it comes to a dayan, it says the word curse. I don't know where it says. Maybe it's not even in this week's parasha. It says the word, do not curse a dayan. So the question is, why does it say don't curse a dayan? Why doesn't it say that you should love the dayan? Or why doesn't it say that you should not hate the dying? Why when it comes to your friend that you're only told that you should love him, why doesn't it say you should not curse him? Why when it comes to your brother it says don't hate him? So the answer is, I saw this in the Seif, I don't remember where I saw this, the Torah has went down into, deep down to a person's mind, and the Torah is very realistic, the Torah is very pragmatic. It knows that when it comes to a friend, you have very little to do with a friend. What do you have to do with a friend? A reacha is someone, an acquaintance. Do you hate him? You're certainly not going to hate him. He didn't do anything to you. Do you want to curse him? Why would I want to curse him? What did this poor guy do to me? What's the nisayon that you have? The nisayon, b'derech klal, is, do you love him? Do you love him? Do you see a person that needs help? You don't know him, so you pull over your car and help him out? Yes. That is your bechira point. You have to l'reyacha, love him. A brother. A brother, we're talking here about a brother who's where the relationship has turned sour. So one thing, you have a brother, you love a brother, but let's say all of a sudden things are not so good with the brother. So the Torah knows, when you have a relationship that starts off good and turns sour, it's beyond repair. That's why they tell us that there's no hate like the hate between a man and a woman at a time of divorce. Why? Why is there no, because it's zelu mazeh, because there's no love like the love between a man and a woman when they get married. And when that love turns sour, it goes to the other extreme. Likewise, a brothers naturally love each other. If the relationship sours, you're never going to be able to repair that love. That's, the Torah is realistic. It cannot be done. But the Torah at least demands from you, your bechira point is such, al tisne esachicha bilvavecha. Don't hate him. Don't hate him. That's to love him. You have to love a brother who now you're not in a good relationship with. I know that's impossible. Torah is not asking you to do something that's not realistic. When it comes to a dayan, are you going to love the dayan? Is going where he paskins, he decides a halachic matter against you. His decision has cost you $1 million. Are you going to love him? No way. Are you going to hate him? Torah is realistic. You're going to hate him. You can't control a person's emotions. But where is your bechira point? Where is the bechira point? The bechira point is don't curse him. At least that much you can hold back. When you take these three psukim together, a friend, a brother, and a dayan, three people who there are problems in your relationship, and the Torah is telling you exactly what to do, you learn how the Torah was Yori L'Sev Daita Shaladam. The Torah did not ask the impossible. The Torah just asks you to do just a little bit more than you would otherwise do. And this is Dava Shoy Bechlal, the Yotza Bechlal Lalameid, Loy Lalameid Latzma Yotza, El Lalameid Kolakolak Yotza. And this is an indication of everything in the Torah is not demanding from a person things that are impossible. The Torah is only demanding from a person just to do a little bit more than he would otherwise do. These three mitzvos is a dogma of such an example, and again, it serves a mashal for everything else in the Torah. May you all have a wonderful Shabbos.